we're live.
When you clicked that we were live. So I could have just watched for when you clicked that we were live.
You clicked the button.
Make sure that I'm not stuck in the time loop ever again.
No, now you're stuck in the time loop.
God damn it.
This is pretty horrible. Somebody should go through a fucking intro.
Welcome to Crippled System, episode 107, I think. I think it's 7, am I right?
Well, that's what the label has.
Oh, look at that. 107. I was right.
Yeah, but it says that every episode, right?
We finally lined up to 107.
Probably what we should do is I should probably just change it so it just says Crippled System Live, then we don't have to worry about a number again.
I thought that was leet speak for a lot.
No.
Oh, okay.
And I'm Brian, and I play Cricks. A lot?
I thought it was a typo. I just assumed that Andy was using leet speak. I just didn't know why.
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
Who are you?
I'm Nathan.
Yay.
Welcome to Crippled System. We suck.
We do. Mm-hmm. We do. You had announcements.
Still have to make it through the goddamn intro.
I thought we did.
No.
I wasn't paying attention.
Exactly.
Because I'm being Katie this week. Let me put this away. It had just been a day and a half since I could take my goddamn Lords of Waterdeep turns.
And we've all been waiting on them. No big deal.
Yeah. All right. Go. I'm Nathan. Welcome to episode lot of Crippled System.
And I'm Jim, and I have nothing to say.
Hi, Andy. Done.
Hi,
Andy,
Travis.
Done.
Yeah, I'm done.
We have announcements this week.
Travis,
did you introduce?
Should be here today.
I started it off. I said, hey, I'm Brian.
He finished it off. He finished it off like he normally does. He's like, and I'm Brian. And
I am Brian. It's a true statement.
It is true.
I'm not lying.
Poop or potatoes exploded.
That's the announcement.
That's the first announcement.
Which one exploded? It is, you know, we do need to know.
Well, we haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah.
We have 79 army lists to play now.
Yeah.
79?
Well, not really. Well, we have a lot.
We have
dozens.
An a lot or a lot?
Lot. The biblical figure.
Oh, okay.
We have his lists
to
play.
Is there like...
They're probably terrible because he in general does not have good luck.
When is our planned Wednesday to start doing this? This Wednesday or after?
After a
DEFCON. After
DEFCON
is when we're going to start the actual Wednesday live stream. Okay, I wasn't sure. I thought maybe schedule
the games for other days.
Well, we could do that too. I mean, like I'll have the space down in the basement here.
Eos space, and also with Jeremy's got a gaming table too.
Yeah, we might even be able to do it multiple times per week, hypothetically, if it's not too much of a workload.
It's gathering the gear and taking it to places is a little bit more wear and tear.
That would be the biggest obstacle to do it on Wednesdays. Would be that you'd have to move the recording gear to.
Yeah, can't we just do it in your
night?
Basement?
Yeah,
we could do it in my basement.
Your basement, or even an environment like the Shades is nice because it's not a game store. There's a million things to deal with. But
the disadvantage of that is that people who aren't it's harder to wrangle the people to come to the camera versus the cameras to go to the people. Like, everyone's already there on Wednesday.
Yeah.
But whatever. We'll figure it out.
Well, so I think what Nathan's really trying to say is you may not want some of our group here.
Yeah, I guess I may not want some of them to know where I live.
Right.
I've met them. You don't.
They're probably listening.
They can't read.
Why would
they? Can't read. We're fine.
No. You, the specific person listening to it right now,
Jeff.
Whatever person is currently listening is the one that we like.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, buddy.
Which is Jeff.
Yeah.
Well, when he's listening, it's Jeff. Okay. I'm just saying, like, hypothetically, like, for example, if you're terrible at this.
I got it.
I'm filled with rage.
Oh,
so
you're saying...
potatoes exploded.
Yes. So you're saying that everybody who listens, who's currently listening right now, is our favorite.
Right. No, just the one.
Just the one.
You
just
know who you are.
Oh, you know.
The rest of the people listening are terrible. That was the implication.
So what kind of list did Lady Shaliqua give us?
Yes, tell me about Lady Shaliqua.
So on Facebook, we got a lot more likes this week.
On Pooper Potato.
Pooper Potato. I think some of it came from us talking about it and saying to put lists there, because we started getting some lists on Monday and Tuesday before you started the thread. And then middle of the week, I was looking at some settings on there, and I accidentally turned the ad manager on. So I accidentally, it cost me like $20, but I didn't realize till the next day that I had got charged $20, but I had like spammed out Pooper Potato to like Facebook ad things. So random people just started seeing Pooper Potato. You should like this.
And they started liking it?
Yeah.
Who would randomly like Pooper Potato?
Yeah, I don't know. Shaniqua was one of them.
Yes, she was.
And lots of other people are just like, it was so, I was like, you know, it was 20 wasted dollars, but you know, random people are like, what is...
That wasn't wasted.
Yeah.
Because he has 20 amazing hours.
Yeah. I've spent 20 on worse.
Yeah, also have I. And who knows how many saw it did. Because I'm assuming a lot more saw it. We're like, I'm not going to click that. But that would be the normal response when you're just like...
That's pretty great.
Yeah, so... I was just clicking
it's
around.
It's great that anybody did.
I'm just glad I saw it the next day, because it would have been like $20 a day until I stopped turning it off. So
that's how Facebook.
Oh,
makes
really?
Money out.
$20 a day?
Well, I mean, well, that was how much. It's based on how many people click and what happens, and it was like, I mean, it was like one day it was $20, so I turned it off immediately because
holy shit!
If I would have
that
goal.
That must be how they make money then. Huh?
Yeah. But on the other hand, if you're like George Takei and you spin the people liking you into money for you,
right.
then
or
it's
a business,
yeah. George Takei is a business.
And he's not using the ad manager.
I mean,
he just posts something.
Not anymore.
Once you get that big, because it snowballs into itself, you know?
Yeah.
Because then
once you get enough likes, people are like, why does everyone like this?
Right.
Oh, I like this too.
Or not only like, not
they
only
even
that.
They don't have to like it at that point. They just want to be like everyone else.
Not only that, but once you get big enough, then it's in like Facebooks and what, well, YouTube's the big one. Like, these people who have lots of subscriptions, YouTube wants to drive more subscriptions, so they start recommending these people. You know, like
plus the number of views floats it to the top, right?
That as well. It's the most used, and like I said, they just feed into it. Like you can't go onto YouTube now without having like PewDiePie recommended to you, just because he's the most subscribed thing. So they just keep shoving it in everybody's face, and so then it feeds into itself, and he becomes even more subscribed.
I'm really good at all this technology stuff.
So we need to get Poop Potato on YouTube, is what you're saying. Yeah.
Well, we're probably gonna.
That's true. That is true.
God damn it!
What? You have to go use.
I'm gonna
that
have,
now.
I'm gonna have to go do that now.
Is this like when Conan O'Brien had to have the Sexy Manatees website because he said it on air?
Do you remember before that? Somebody goes and steals it.
Well,
fear?
It was something.
Nobody's
like,
gonna steal poop or potatoes.
Oh, they're gonna steal it.
Conan O'Brien, like, is a
feel
joke.
Free.
It, like during some monologue or whatever, he just as an offhanded ad lib thing mentioned www.hornymanatees.com. And so then at the end of the episode, his lawyers are like, we had to buy that because you mentioned it on air. So it was like, there's some weird law that it legally had to be a real website.
Really?
I don't know, but weird. They had to buy it. And so then he had it for like a year because they had to get it for that long. So then he decided, fuck it, I'm going to use it. So he made it like a joke, sexy cam whore website with all people in manatee costumes. And there's like a bondage manatee and an old lady manatee. Well, I unironically.
I misunderstood.
Yes.
Man, I took a lot of my money.
That was a great idea by him, is what you're saying.
That was a great idea. I wish I'd gotten into the horny manatees first.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start mentioning other things so that.
So
Andy
another
announcement.
This is at least something that's pertinent to us as a podcast.
Still mad we couldn't get My Little Porny.
April 18th, there's going to be a Madison porny event. That's for an announcement.
Yes.
It'll be a 50-point Masters ADR format.
Not part of the six pack, though, right?
Correct. Not part. April 4th will be the second Cedar Rapid event. We'll probably talk about that a little bit later, the first one. The six pack is starting in May. I'm going to probably sometime in March actually start posting a lot of details about it. I wanted to, you know, it is March.
It is March.
I lost some time. But no, I will post a bunch of information probably in the next week in regards to the six pack. All the locals know what it is. All the people who can travel to it. We usually get 30 to 40 people per the six pack event. And I have a fuck ton of prize support for it. I got to post all the rules and everything. But it's basically a six tournament series that's all linked.
Right.
Adepticons obviously in 2 weeks, but everyone who's no.
It's been popular in the past. So if you want to be popular, you will think this is popular in the future.
If you like free t-shirts. And stuff and prizes.
Well, we should have wore our six pack Bombshell Girl shirts.
I didn't have one of those.
You suck.
I know. Loser. I just have the second six pack, the actual six pack.
Oh, logo. I think I should have both.
Yeah.
I stumbled across both my shirts the other day randomly, just throwing shit around in my room. I just threw everything.
The shirts were throwing shit around.
Well, the prostitute in the closet might have, but no, it was the shirts. It was the shirts.
I was short on cash, so she was just, you know,
we spelling
some
it
stuff
for
herself.
Spelling it the quail way.
I have been
okay.
Although the Facebook isn't with the E, but the logo is, and so whatever. But I figured
well,
that
Facebook
you would just make a Pooper
was...
Potato playlist in our Crippled System YouTube page.
Right? I made the Facebook page before we got the picture.
Right,
and I
the
didn't
picture
and it was made by a fan. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to correct his work. And And has typo makes sense for us, so I just just went with it.
I'll create
what
both.
Was the typo?
Yeah,
he just put the E on the potato.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, it no, that's why we weren't like.
Well, yeah, it was like Dan said, Quayle poop.
I said we are the Dan Quayle of War Machine Podcast.
Yeah. So I mean, it made sense.
I could buy that.
Whatever happened to little Dan Quayle?
God, after his retardation spout, I think he was.
I think he's joined that Mars 2028 team. I think we're sending him on that one way trip to Mars with those people.
Is it 2018? Run for president this year?
It's 2024 or something. Or 2024.
Yeah. I think he's got as good a shot as anyone to be president this year. Candidates are so strong.
Oh, I can't tell you guys yet. I have to do it. Sorry. I have to tell you off air. There's a possible illegal thing I'm doing, and me and Danny are looking to do it. It involves the next president. It involves the next campaign.
I think on air is the perfect time to do something. Then.
I have to dig into it. I'll tell you guys off air. Sorry. People on air go, ooh, but it will involve the next presidential campaign. And it's going to involve Scott Walker, I'll say that. And it's the greatest thing in the world. I'm so excited. Anyway.
Homeland Security.
I'm thinking of the greatest things in the world that could involve Scott Walker, and I don't remember. I know you're not allowed to say things about the president or else you get arrested. Can you say things about other politicians?
No, I'm going
to. I think as soon as they're presidential candidates, which he hasn't officially announced, so he doesn't get any secret service.
So, right now, if I talked about.
I think you're good.
Like, if Saw you get arrested, movies.
I'm sorry.
It would be a lot of fun if Scott Walker and I could get together and do the sweeted versions of some of the Saw films.
I know that everybody else in this room probably hates him, but. He got elected by people, and he did what he told them they were going to do, which everybody else was shocked about because he's a politician that did what he said he was going to do. Everyone's like, what the fuck? But at least he did what he said he was going
to
do.
And my thing is going to go a whole different direction. I have to involve a little bit of work.
Oh, work's for losers.
But the rewards could be amazing. Okay. So,
are you going to be on the news?
Are you
gonna get, I'll be on the news.
Will there be handcuffs?
I don't. Hopefully not.
Are you going to get Bill Pullman on the podcast?
I could get a lot of people out.
Again?
Bill Paxton.
Bill Pullman or Bill Paxton could be very helpful for what I'm trying to do. So we'll see.
This is great.
Yeah.
And no to the person who asked if we'd seen Jupiter Ascending.
Not yet.
I was going to see it this last Tuesday, and then I slept in, and it was wonderful.
Yeah, so sleeping in is probably better than that movie.
Because then I went to work, and I got off of work at 9, and then Jupiter Ascending was showing at, like, 10:45. And who the fuck airs a two-hour movie at 10:45 at night?
Sadists.
Yeah. So I did not go to it after work.
I think I'll see it. Maybe Tuesday. You want to go see it Tuesday?
I have Tuesday off. All Tuesday off.
Oh, let's not talk about planning on seeing movies on the podcast.
Yeah.
I have another announcement as the new head of PR for this whole thing. You can buy merchandise somewhere. Nathan, tell them about it.
Zazzle.com/crippled system.
That was an eloquent segue.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Where's Jim? What have you done with him?
I'm the new head of PR. I take my job very seriously. I'm very qualified at promoting things because I don't hate everything.
Zazzle.com/crippled system. Make sure you set your browsing options to enable mature things, because one of our shirts is hidden from children because the word fetish is on it.
When I look at Zazzle the first time, like, I didn't realize how you can customize, because he has a couple shirts in it. First of all, it shows you the back instead of the front, which is a little obnoxious.
Yes.
But once you click on a shirt, then you're like, well, everything is white. You're like, well, I don't like white, but you can change all the colors, whatever you want. It's completely customizable.
And not just colors. Like, every one of those shirts, you can change it into a hoodie. You can change it into a baby onesie. You can take all of those designs and make it into fucking any clothing you can think of.
Our stuff is pretty neat, too. I haven't looked at it, and I don't care about it at all, but it's pretty neat.
You could put Jeremy's face with unplayable trash on your underwear if you want.
That is wonderful. You also could put Jeremy's face with unplayable trash.
I like tiny whiteys like that. Now, this is amazing. Like Walter White whiteys.
I want it on a baby onesie. I want the infant child to say unplayable trash.
Oh, my God.
Or the I'm crippled.
Yeah. I will say because you're buying everything one-off, it's a little bit more expensive than if we ordered like 500 shirts and sold them individually. But it's still pretty awesome.
Yeah, and they're like they're 20-something.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world. If you get like a...
And if you were real fans, you'd buy stuff so Andy could buy cooler equipment. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, spend money on Zazzle so we can get more equipment. But yeah. No, but there's also a ton of stuff out there.
I say,
we thought of a cool idea.
We are not getting rich off of Zazzle. The amount of time we've had it so far, I checked, and we are still in these single digits as far as dollars we've gotten off of that store.
So Andy can buy a cord.
That is enormous.
It is. Because I
quit your job.
I set it as basically as low money for us as possible to keep the prices down as much as possible. Because every penny I put that we go, it's just straight from the customer's pocket. Yeah. Like Zazzle's like, we take X dollars. how much do you want? And I'm like, nothing. And they're like, okay, great.
We will take all the money.
But yeah, if I was like, I want $5, they just up the price by $5 because they're not taking out of their share.
Right. Gotcha. Maybe even more.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they might. If I say I want $5, they're like, great, we'll up it by $6 so we get an extra buck.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That sounds like a corporate
American. Point is, you know, 20-something for a t-shirt. You pay that at a Hot Topic, and that's not as cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So, I guess next topic, me and Andy went to Cedar Rapids first four packs.
Yay, four pack.
50-point event with using ADR. It's basically like, it was kind of cool because it was using the Masters. We got the player. I would say there's 21 people and maybe 25% of them was doing ADR, so more than some. I mean, which was nice. I mean, there's actually
more than people expected.
I mean, one of my opponents used ADR very effectively. He was a circle. He was able to put a pure blood into his list against my Epic Denny list, which was a huge deal.
The blasted weapon.
Yeah, getting that. I mean, that made me play the game differently because he was able to ADR it in there. So right. It definitely affected.
Because the pure blood's not the kind of thing that you see a lot because it's not worth taking. But for some reason, a lot of people don't. They just put in the easy go to thing like a stalker and Getrex or whatever.
I do that too.
Right.
Yeah.
I take two stalkers and the pure blood.
Right.
Yeah. Basically every list because I don't know what I'm doing. A lot of circle players
take Getrex and then X stalkers and they never think of anything else.
I think the stalkers are better than the Getrex, so I'm a crazy.
But it's cool in the ADR, but he was able to just, you know, shove that. And he had, I mean, basically he had druids in his ADR if he needed them. In my list, he didn't pull them against me because the druids weren't going to help him.
But that is nice because sometimes the druids you just don't fucking care about.
Yep, so he had druids in the primal, which I think is a really good ADR for Circle. And then he had, you know, some of the Nikki points I didn't care about. But basically the event went four rounds, 9 of the 21. We had four cars from Madison going to Cedar Rapids. It was just funny. I always want to, when I say that, I always want to apologize to Travis because we can't get more than like one car to Milwaukee. Sometimes two. But yeah, we can get four cars 2.5 hours to Cedar Rapids.
I would go to Milwaukee just for the Fazoli's there and not even play in your tournament. That would probably not help him any.
But. I think it's just because it's a four pack. People love the link events. And I think that's why the six pack is going to, six packs always get good turnouts. But I mean, yeah, people just love this linked tournament concept a lot.
Were some of the six packs the ones where we had like 100 people at Schweigler's?
Oh, those were always the Mam Cups.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But, which was ridiculous as well. But I took...
Which are linked tournaments.
Yeah, yeah, based kind of. I took Epic Scar with the 40 Texas Raiders.
Did you practice that at all? Or you
I played it one. I put it on the table once. I had to move it around just once to kind of get used to...
Like, why is all this stuff in my way?
Yeah.
Oh, at least it's got reach.
And I played Epic Denny's Body and Souls. I brought two very gimmicky lists, which, you know, was, you know, fun. I ended up going 3-1. I did get to live. I lived two dreams. Round two, I got paired against a Convergence player who only one listed us in Theory and Theme Force. So basically, it was all of his Jacks versus all of my Raiders. I literally had a giggle when I was deployed. I'm like, don't giggle. Because he didn't really know what my army could do. And I was like trying to explain him fast and all this stuff. But I didn't really go into the whole feedback backlash thing because it was going to happen anyway. So I wanted it to naturally happen. I'm like, just don't put my caster somewhere dumb and get pulled in by his, you know, his Prime Axiom. And you can't lose this game. But yeah, that game went fast. I mean, and actually,
like a top of two feedback kill type deal.
Yeah, it was in turn two feedback kill. But actually, his list he had the stupid battle engine, and that thing was like, you know, he put two dice, two things into. He was rolling four dice to hit, and he still had three sprays. So that thing was clearing a path of stuff. I mean, even though
he was doomed from the beginning.
Yeah, if that would have been against a regular Crix list, the amount of infantry he would have been pulling off the table would have been ridiculous. It would have been hard for, even though it was all jacks, for some lists to get through it. Infantry spam list because he was just blowing infantry off the board.
The battle engines are not to be discounted.
No, so they're it was scary, so yeah,
that one.
Yeah, the Convergence battle engine is sexy.
That one's good too. So it's not like that, but it's
so good. So we taught him the value of having two lists.
The rep battle engine was really good when it shot out infinite rough terrain AoEs.
Oh, it still does.
Yeah, technically by the words it's written. Yeah.
Well, I play with the rules that are written, Nate, not ones I make up for myself.
The only other dream I lived.
I'm completely out of the conversation here.
So round three, the gimmick about Body Slow is you run Denny forward on turn one. You keep all her focus. Then your upkeep start in play. So you put pursuit on something that has, basically something too important for them not to move forward. They move it forward. You walk another 7 inches forward. Then it's your turn. You go forward 7 or 10 inches and you feet and you lock them into place like downtown. And then, which is what I did.
That sounds pretty rude.
It's pretty great.
Because then you score, like, they're out of the
scenario.
You
score, then you jam them, and you score again.
Well, you score on their turn,
right?
And then you score on your turn.
And you jam them.
But I kept doing the other thing. The other fun part about it is if you do it just right, you place your caster and you wait. You time the incorporeal, then you just walk. You can charge through, hit their caster, teleport the caster back into your stuff, and you just kill it. And in my third game, I had that whole setup where I could have put my caster for. But for some, I was afraid that he could have put Wraithbane on his stalker, and could have killed my caster. But my brain was going, if I go forward now, teleport his caster back to my army, and I kill it, I'll die the following turn to that Wraithbane stalker, so I can't do it.
That sounds pretty terrifying.
So I was like, so I might have been drunk off the Styxus thing that just happened to me right before that. So right. I didn't take the kill. So I ended up just hesitating, and I moved my army bad, and then he just got into me too much, and I ended up losing. And when in the final round, I did the exact same thing. This time I was playing poor Kofut. I got paired against Syrian Kofut. But I did the exact same thing again, but this time I actually teleported his caster into my army and just like slaughtered
him. Oh, he should have taken Raznik. Too, he wouldn't have been able to teleport Resnik too.
Well, he was afraid. He had played that other Resnik list against my Styxus spam before. He knew not to put that down on the table again, and he didn't think I would. He's once you see the body's little gimmick, you can't really do it. You can't do that strategy again. You can still do the whole jam, go forward. It's hard to avoid.
Right, but the incorporeal charge, the caster teleport him out thing.
Yeah, that only happens once to somebody, but it was still.
Danny's so tricky that something always happens once to you.
Yeah.
I mean, by the time you've lost 10 games, you've lost in 10 ways.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you curse the shadow to your own shit.
Yeah.
God damn.
I love doing that. I did that. It was so much fun. I did it with Igor shit a lot, too. I used to keep Tartarus safe. Curse the Shadow's my Bane Thrall. I'll have him charge right through him into stuff. They're like, what? Mm-hmm. That's still one of my favorite tricks.
She's literally got 10, 12 ways to win, though, right?
Yep. Yeah, she's wonderful that way. So, yeah. No, that was fun. That was my day. I went 3-1.
Adding one trick to it.
Yeah. Yep.
Andy, how did your day go?
I'm looking it up.
Oh, okay.
I went 2-2 on the day. I ended up first round taking on Retribution. Second round, taking on Retribution.
Uh-huh.
Third round, taking on Retribution.
Okay.
Did you have Earthbreakers, too? Was that your list, Earthbreaker spams?
I did. No. I only had, I just had my Durgan list, my standard Durgan list, which is just a single Earthbreaker and a bunch of other fixins.
Shea fucking Trump's rat.
I do not have Pressgangers, so I can't. What? I got to talk to you about this afterwards.
I've seen you playing your Shea list before.
I was proxying Pressgangers, the second unit.
That's what the Bane Knights were.
Oh, a second unit. Okay. Because you had one unit, right? I wasn't hallucinating. Okay. I knew I'd seen the last on the table, so I was very confused.
My second unit of Pressgangers was actually great because I used the... I was using Kayazi for them.
Yeah.
And I was using the Underboss as the last. So I was like,
you're sexy.
Hey, welcome.
I don't think Rat can beat Shea.
I'm
trying to think of a way.
Infinite rough terrain AoEs.
That would do her.
Yeah.
So infinite. So
maybe.
Oddly enough,
I don't know, that might still be touch and go.
So my first game was actually against Gareth, which seemed odd, but he is somebody with stealth, so Durgan has kind of issues with that.
The second that he spends focus, he dies.
But. Well, on top of that, he also had a stupid Hulk hands, and he positioned the Hulk hands just enough behind it, so I couldn't hit him with any blast damage.
That terrible piece of crap model? Where did you learn that from?
I don't know.
Hulk hands is a game within a game.
Yeah. Yes, he's amazing. I took on Virus 2 for the second game. He popped his feet immediately turn one, made me try to rethink of how I'm going to handle his army, because if you kill a model, then he is able to move a model. Except for he decided he's going to move Imperatus like on the second turn, which was right in front of Gorman. So Gorman was like, oh, you just moved him. Okay, I'll walk up and
Blackwell and just forget the rest of my turn.
Yeah. And then the third game, I ended up taking on Jeremy of our Crippled System podcast fame. I swapped it up and I decided not to go with Durgan because I didn't want to be pigeonholed into him for the final round.
DNC one.
DNC one. So I took Excellent Thexus against him. And then I proceeded to not make a single tough roll, with my objective being the auto stand from tough. So
and he also put Ron down, so you were really
yeah. He put Ron down against me, which I have a decent game against him. But
you're glad you are glad you didn't play Durgan. Durgan versus Ron is a horrible.
Oh yeah,
matchup.
No, I know, I know. That's why I took him, because
Ron has the thing where he chooses draft.
Ron is good against both of the lists that Andy brought. Yeah. I think both of Andy's lists, Ron, is one of the worst possible matchups for him. Because one of the big things with the Exxon Texas thing is that all those Mind Rapers have sack pawn, and you need to keep them alive, and it's all spells. Mm-hmm. So those guys, he just picks those out of there, and then you have a bunch of, you know, retard lobotomized guys just walking around with Command 3.
Yep.
And that list is kind of heavy-centric, the Exelon guy or not?
It's infantry swarm.
Heavies are really bad against Ron, too, because they get pulled out and killed.
Yeah, it's both.
Ron is really good if you don't have the answer.
I was able to basically kill off, or he wasn't able to really pick out my heavies at all, but he just took out some of the more important solos, and I can't defend against magic attacks.
You have, what, three heavies in that list, probably? Only two? You don't have two swings and a clamp?
Nope, I got two Wreckers.
Oh, okay.
And then the final match, and this is another one of those situations where the objective for 2015 is so important now, because my opponent took he was a circle player playing Kaya 2, took the objective that makes him girded, put him right next to there, and then cast the little Wold Watcher's Animus on herself, so she cannot be knocked down, and no blast damage. Pretty good. I just shot the objective marker off, and then all of my artillerist drifts went from 3 inches to 6 inches on the reroll, every single one. So I did.
You want a one or a two?
I want a one or a two.
Okay, I just making sure you knew that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's hard to.
That's a tough matchup for you, ain't it?
Yeah, it might have been better against Kyle, yeah, too. Yeah, Shadow Pack is horrible.
If she has a forest to hide behind your bone in the first place, right?
Correct.
And
correct.
Being immune to
blast. But it's also Killbox at the time, too. I kind of wish I took my Exelon list for that last one. It might have been a better choice, but...
She has to hit you twice because she hits you, blasts your troopers with the frickin' stalkers, ports back, and then hits you again next turn. Right?
All those stalkers, or all of my troopers have tough, so I might be able to stop them from...
Not through the berserk. They don't care. They'll kill every one of them.
And I don't mind it that much, because if I have some of them that are tough or some of them that they couldn't reach, I can reach their stalker with an adrenal flooded... drudge.
Well,
and
that's what I'm saying is that she ports.
No, he
back.
Can still.
I can still get up to them.
Exelon has
flooding.
One hell of a
from like 20 inches away.
Pretty.
I mean, she can get them wherever she wants. Because they can force out of her control range.
Yeah. Well, the kill box is a little challenging. Where
right.
She
well, she's horrible at every scenario.
Kill box is an issue. Plus, I can use my feet to pull them closer in. I can use my TK to push some of my drudges out, and then it probably would have been better.
I'm just asking why it would be enough better. Because I know for a rat, that was always the problem. Is she'd smash into you, pour it away. You couldn't do anything about it, and then she'd smash into you again, and you lost.
That was
the only game I ever lost to James
on my feet turn.
Did I lose that one?
On my feet turn, and on top of that, I had like a full unit of gun mages shooting into her. I had Durgan firing carpet bomb plus the reload shot into her. I had Hearn and John firing into her as well with AoEs. And then I did it again the next turn. I still couldn't kill her because all my drifts were just fucking way off everywhere.
Dan won the tournament with his trolls.
Yep.
And Jeremy came in second place.
Kofoot?
No.
Jeremy Shea.
Funny story about that. I asked him if he wanted to come on the podcast today and talk about his victory. I didn't realize that Dan won.
Oh.
Because when we went to the restaurant, Jeremy seemed really upbeat and happy at Hardee's.
Well, it's play it positive this year for
it him. It is. It is play it positive, but I honestly thought he won because he had a gift card and there was...
And both of them used ADR, I think. Yeah, they both had ADR.
Somebody is attacking me.
He swapped out. I think he swapped out one of his Phoenixes to put in the gunners, the Mage Hunter Strike Force. I think he put in.
Yeah, no, it's cool. 21 people is a pretty good turnout.
Yeah,
it's pretty fun day. My first opponent actually has a bad look against me. He whenever he would attack any of my models, he'd always leave me at one hit point. He was always like he just couldn't kill anything that had multiple wounds, including my caster at one point. But yeah, no, it was a good day.
So yesterday somebody showed me a Lucant list, William Cruikshanks, or however you pronounce those weird European names. He showed me this Lucant list.
It's called Samantha.
So Samantha showed me this Lucant list. He says that he was talking to me about convergence, and he said that in his meta in Scotland or whatever, they think Lucant's terrible. which made no sense to me. And he's like, yeah, like, Luke kind of like, lost to Lilith 2 and stuff like that. I'm like, what are these words you're saying? Like, none of this makes sense to me. And he showed me this list that I thought was absolutely terrible. And then today somebody posted that same list on Facebook and said, this list is absolutely terrible. And I'm like, I agree. This list is terrible. This list is terrible. That's my announcement that I forgot to make earlier.
If you play terrible lists, they do terribly sometimes.
This list is just terrible. It's Lucant, Corollary Inverter, Axiom, two Foundries, full Obstructors, full Reciprocators, and two units of Mechanics.
You're making it worse.
Yeah, you said stuff. And
I don't.
It's terrible. I only know what conversion. I play enough
of it.
It adds two units of infantry, both of which are Shield Wall, and a Speed 4 Heavy as his only. Like, so that's great on scenario, right? It's really slow shit that never gets there.
Yeah.
And your Colossal, whose main strength is shooting, on a Rat 3 caster, so that's good. You don't include a diffuser because threat range is Lucan's biggest weakness, so why would you mitigate that with a diffuser? But my main thing is don't use this list, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, we got to pooper potatoes it.
Oh my god! I can tell you right fucking now, it is runny poop.
Wow, runny poop.
It is pee from your butt. Oh my god! I hate life. You know, and then like
Budweiser.
Yeah, it's pee from the butt, and then like it's hot on your sphincter because it's
you ate chili. You had some chili peppers.
Jalapenos and Budweiser.
Yeah.
I had jalapenos. No,
the hot isn't from the spice. It's because you're dehydrating your anus because of how much diarrhea is coming out. That's this list.
I'm trying to figure now. So we have like a level of poop. How are we going to level the potatoes?
I
like
we
the best potato is just going to be with like
baked potato with cream cheese and the bacon bits.
I was going to say a red potato.
Sour cream.
Sour cream cheese.
And cream cheese.
So maybe?
Variety. Like
sour
a red
cream
potato.
Is what I meant.
Mashed potatoes are the best potatoes.
Mashed potatoes.
Scalloped potatoes.
Scalloped potatoes are also legit. Potatoes are amazing. Just in general, potatoes are
I'm
great.
I'm not a big potato guy, really, to be honest.
Oh, just make yourself
you're
a big
not a,
potato
you're not a
sometime.
Big potato.
Baked potatoes are decent.
Hey, like this, like Mitch Hedberg said as a joke, but I'll honestly do it. On. Mitch Hedberg talked about sometimes he'll just throw a potato in the oven because an hour from now, who knows? Like, I'll just do that. I'll just be like, watch TV and be like, meh. And I just toss a couple potatoes in the oven, and an hour later, I have baked potatoes. It's great. You never know when you're going to want a baked potato.
I've never done that.
Well, when you get home, just throw a potato in the oven. An hour later, you'll be like,
"Well, the important question
is, I have a baked potato now.
How warm for an hour? Because that seems like it'd be too long for an hour.
Well, it depends.
Like 1 degree. After an hour, it's fine.
No.
So,
2 degrees?
You poke holes, you rub them in oil, and change them salt. Don't do the aluminum foil. Yeah, that's a sucker's game.
What?
You don't do aluminum. No. No.
Then what? How do you? What?
You poke holes in it. And then you rub it in oil and sprinkle salt on it, and then boom, just right. You put it right on the.
How? What temperature?
You are a communist.
4-ish?
4 degrees for an hour.
No, there were digits after that 4.
All right.
40 degrees.
Okay, 40 degrees.
Multiple digits.
4,000 degrees for an hour? It seems ridiculous.
But Fahrenheit. No, I'm sorry, Kelvin.
Kelvin.
All right.
It would still be like 3,000
degrees. I've got a Kelvin oven, so.
Yeah. No, Hobbs. I'm sorry. Kelvin and Hobbs. What are you doing, Andy?
Something broke. He's fixing it.
Is it time to zap it?
Good response.
So that was our mega War Machine topic.
Yeah, it's exciting. It was an event. But no, my topic is that this Lucan list is terrible.
All right, that's a topic. Zappity.
Fucking A.
What are you doing?
Personally, I'm looking at this terrible Lucan list on my phone right now. I'm staring at it with rage.
Sounds really good.
Yeah.
Is it not?
He'll do it slower. Lucant, Corollary, Inverter, Axiom, Foundry, Full Obstructors, Full Reciprocators, 2 Optifix Directives.
I have no idea what any of that is.
Caster, Super Squire.
Oh my god.
Speed 4 Jack, Ranged Colossal with Rat 3.
What's happening?
Two guys who bring back your 2 units of shitty slow shield wall guys with no way to increase their threat range, and then 2 units of mechanics to repair your 1.5 jacks.
It's very important.
If you don't know what it's doing at all and there's one trick, you're going to fall.
Here's what it is. If you can't beat a Colossal that one turn of the game gets an armor buff, you lose to this list.
Sounds pretty tough.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea.
Zappity.
It's terrible. Crumble.
Yay.
Did we have another topic? I don't think we did.
I have nothing to talk about. I haven't played War Machine in like a month, so.
Wow. You should come down on Wednesdays.
I went down on Wednesday and I didn't find a game.
Yeah,
there was like 6:30 and I left.
Yeah, we had like a ton of people there too.
Yeah.
It was like every single person was playing a game. There's we invaded into the D&D area.
I felt kind of bad last Wednesday.
I can't
Wednesday.
Sit there though because if I don't have a game by 6:30, I have to go home because I
you don't
have
want to play
wake
late.
Up at 4:45 in the morning.
Right.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I'm driving so far.
Fuck daylight savings when you have to work at 6 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. By the last 4 years, I'm always in Iowa in daylight saving times, and it's always the one day I have to drive back late, and then I lose another hour.
Yeah.
So it's like 4 years in a row I've been in Iowa.
Old W fixed daylight savings, though.
What?
George W changed the daylight savings.
Did he?
Yeah. He
why don't they just get rid of it?
He shortened it.
They can just get rid of it.
I know, it's
farmers
stupid.
Need it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, farmers don't
they
need
can
anything.
Fucking wake up at an hour earlier. How hard is that to do? Digital clocks exist now. It's not like the whole lamp oil
you
and sunshine
you don't wake up
thing.
An hour earlier. You just wake up.
Yeah, just get up when the sun comes up. What the fuck? Yeah. Like I.
Yeah, but then it's going to be the wrong time.
The thing
is, the sun should always rise at the same time, and you need daylight savings to make it so.
It baffles me. It baffles me about like how this is a money saving venture.
It was a money losing venture. That's why W shortened it.
Well, I think it was invented as a money saving venture, not because it was lamp oil. They moved it so that
but now we have electricity, which is free.
Right.
And takes no resources.
Correct.
But even then, you would just get up a little bit earlier. You would get up at sunrise, and you would go to bed at sunset.
No.
Yeah, but then you couldn't go to the bank.
But your favorite TV shows were on at a certain time, right. And you had to use your lamp oil to stay up.
No, right? you set your TV times for sunrise and sunset.
Okay.
What always baffles me about it is that some states do, and some most states
Indiana
do, but some don't.
And
that's
then
where
you
it gets
get
weird
there, you get really bored.
Yeah, it's just the fact that it's optional.
Why don't we just not do it?
I think we should.
I like Indiana's also, got that one section of their state that's on Central Time with daylight savings, and then the rest of the state is on Eastern Time without daylight savings. You want to clusterfuck your brain up with some weird information?
That's what.
Yeah, because
so wait, are they sometimes 2 hours apart, or are they sometimes the same?
Yeah,
sometimes. Sometimes it's Tuesday.
Yep. You don't even know what day it is when you're in Indiana.
No,
it has nothing to do with daylight savings.
Oh, can you imagine the court cases when they're trying to recite what happened during a certain time period?
Yeah, and like if you're driving from the Chicago region, like 1 mile east, I don't even know what the time does.
You don't know either. Yeah.
There's
if
a tree.
If
what
you work
year is
in
it?
That bubble, like if you work at 9 in the morning, you leave your house at 11 and you get to work on time.
Right. And I don't know exactly. Somebody from Indiana can clear this up for us.
You
leave I know
work at 5 and you get home at like 9 p.m.
Yep.
You leave work at 5.
If you were just outside of the Chicago area and you drive into Chicago from Indiana, I know it's confusing. I don't know the exact details. But I know it's
that's
confusing.
Why the people there wear 12 watches.
Yeah.
I saw a stupid people on Facebook post thing once where somebody was like, wait, I just found out Australia's day ahead of us. Why didn't they warn us about 9/11?
That is a valid point.
They knew they were a day ahead.
I know. And
why didn't they warn
us? News. Time may not be exactly how
you
we
think
perceive
they win
it.
More lotteries here. They can just keep flying someone in every day. Damn it, Australia won the lottery again.
They used up all their good luck living in Australia.
Well, the wildlife takes care of its own problem.
Yep.
God, your phone is just
going nuts.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah. I had a topic.
Yo, good.
Thank God.
None of us do.
So, this is actually, it's an offshoot of the Muse thread. There's a big thing that Muse kind of, there is a discussion on when you go, some people when they go into Masters.
Wait. Quick interruption. Which one of you assholes made a third Zappity Grumble thread?
Jim?
It was me. It was on Twitter. I'm a Twitter specialist.
You son of a bitch.
As the head of PR. Wait,
there's no third Zappity Grumble
thread. It just says Zappity, and that's where all the fucking responses are, is in that one. Not the one you made 2 hours ago, not the one I made an hour ago, the one he made 5 minutes after
I
me
definitely
has
did
all
this.
The fucking responses.
I am the master of Twitter.
You're the best PR representative ever.
That's me.
Why are all the responses under one? I mean, we got none of them.
If the other two have this many responses, we have a million Zappity Grumbles.
Because that's the master of PR. That's my PR
Brian,
mastery.
Did you spend another
$20?
I just threw some money at it. So the topic
is Lady.
Well, that's my fucking page.
No. The topic, I'm bringing up.
Yes.
So people... When they get into, it's actually, I think it's two full topic. One is going to events, Masters is obviously the in people the event people go to cons. All they care about nowadays is Masters. It's like you want to win Masters. You want to be the guy that is awesome.
Yeah,
you, and anything you else is you're just irrelevant. You're the best, you or you. It really though, is really. Turning into the best, or you're fucking nothing.
And kind of like a wonderful environment.
I'm just saying that's I'm not saying that's bad. Well, it's a little crazy, but anyway. So what people have been saying is a lot of times you have people who are traveling the country going to 15 to 20 cons. Some people like the Muse guys, the Muse van, they went to New England, Texas, Nebraska, Florida, Las Vegas all in a month. And that's not just them. It's other people are doing the same thing. The Texans have been doing this. Some people from California are doing this. Tom Guan is going to every international thing there or everything there is. And that's fine. I mean, that's cool. That's how they're spending their time, their
Michigan
money.
Guys used to be.
When I was unemployed, I used to have so much time for.
Yeah, you do that stuff, and that's fine. But what's happening is, in some of these events, that as Masters, people qualify through whatever method it is, and you get your top 16, and then you have like a couple locals who make it in, even though you know the people are trying to stop the locals from making it because they're traveling to all these cons. But occasionally, some locals make it in.
Well, you're gonna have some locals make it in,
yeah, because there's always good players everywhere.
Plebeians,
yeah, those sons of bitches,
just playing the odds at some point.
So they get into Masters and they're excited because woohoo, I made it to Masters, and then they play the other, you know, there's, you know, the other 10 people who've traveling everywhere. And so
round got this like setup of metagame and terrible, horrible lists and everything else.
So you got but that's not even the weird part. So then you get, you know, 8 people win, 8 people lose. And what's happening nowadays is of the 8 losers, 6 are dropping. They all drop. So the one guy who's like, man, I wanted to play some actual new people and get this competitive level, they're getting kind of sad. And the guys who are dropping are like, well, I just want to win this thing. I want to go watch my friends who won play. I want to enjoy the experience of watching my friends play the game. Or sometimes you drop.
It's like, I'm out. I want to go get some pizza.
Yeah. You know? So they do that. But it's becoming – it used to be where a couple would drop. Now it's becoming such an extreme where those who actually want to play are like, well, sorry. You know, you made Masters. Now you can just sit and have 3 rounds of buys.
Yeah, I've only made one Masters ever. So I don't know. I'm not an expert. But – and I got a draw the first round, eliminated.
Yeah.
I sat there and I played anyway. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just how, it's out of courtesy for the other players.
Yeah, especially the people who travel. That would suck to be traveling, you know, halfway across the world.
I
got to
draw the first round. I didn't really
want to. Well, some of these people are the ones, a lot of people who are dropping are those who are traveling. I mean, they travel with a group of 8 people, and they lost, but they want to go watch their friend play. And sometimes it's like I have to drop to catch a plane, which is weird in its own right, because why do you play around?
I feel like, but whatever. I don't know. That's just disrespecting somebody else's time to me to drop.
I mean, they're
putting in the time and effort to get in the Masters, and they want to play some damn games.
And there's always been people who've dropped here and there, but it's becoming more. It's no longer the exception. That's now the
Magic
norm.
Was.
Magic's So I just it's interesting that's kind of happening, because
the sad part about it though is Magic was for money, and so once you are out of contention for the money, you're like, F it.
Yeah.
But there is no money in War Machine.
Yeah.
It's the more competitive you are, the more you spend.
You got like maybe a $25 to $50 gift card.
Right.
Yeah. Well, people to buy more stuff.
Anna Mechanica Studios trophy.
Yeah, you'll get 1/10 of what you invested.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of them, because with the War Machine Weekend Invitational being the big prize for most of these, if you come in 5th or 6th, you still get a bunch of points. So if you can attend a few of them, those points could matter.
Yeah, and you lose the first round and you go 3-1, you're getting points.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, it's just a thing that I thought was interesting, and I just wanted to bring that up because I know it was sad. Yeah, it's a thing. It's just, but there's a lot of people on both sides going kind of all angry and angst on it.
I get both sides, but the side that's dropping is they're dropping because they don't want to play the game. So why are you traveling so far?
Why are you going to all these places?
I mean, if you're dropping because you don't want to play 3 more games, you don't want to play 3 more games, you shouldn't have went. I understand
why
you're
dropping.
Their
interest is in winning the game, not in playing the game.
I know, which is, at some point, you just got to look at it. I'm not making money. If I can't even pretend to enjoy 3 games so that the rest of the community does get to enjoy 3 games, maybe I should take a fucking count or two off. Maybe.
Yeah. But that's a practice. People want people want to make the Invitational so bad that when they lose it or whatever, I'll focus my energy for the next event or whatever. They just mentally check out because they want that prize so badly.
It just seems like you get better if you play all the top tier.
But they already feel like they do every week. They probably play 4 games a week or whatever.
And part of the unpopular thing I'm going to say is I think sometimes some not, this is not going to be all of them, but some of them. want to play their friends, and if they are the unfortunate one who happens to lose against someone, the losing bracket is less likely to be their friends, because the cool kids are going to be in the winning bracket than not the winning bracket. So now they can't play their cool buddies and have that thing go back and forth. They're playing this random dude who they don't know. Like, yeah, I'll go watch my friend.
In my masters, after I lost one and drew one, I got to play a fat Asian in one of the following rounds, which is a blast.
Yeah.
He's usually in the loser's bracket.
Yep. So yeah, that's a good place to aim for.
That's
where
he lives.
That's a great place to aim.
Yeah. Well, technically, he's one of the more crack droppers.
I also played against the guy from Chicago, who's pretty fun. I can't remember his name.
You can have a lot of fun in the loser bracket. If you're like, you know what, I want to play some War Machine, you can still try and do good just because you're in the loser bracket. I mean, I'll say it, sometimes the games are there's the tensions out because, you know, but you still want to win a game. You're not going to like just, you know, flop models around like a complete moron. Well, I mean, I would.
Okay,
but, I mean,
thank you.
At least
you're wise that you were vomiting out of your space.
Most people.
Here's the thing is that you might be just kind of shoving stuff around and not really playing your hardest at that point, but at least they get to play somebody if they wanted to.
Yeah.
And if neither of you really want to play and you're both just flopping models forward, it becomes pretty amusing.
Yeah.
Right?
You can do some weird shit. Yeah. So yeah, I
see both sides, but I think that the one side only makes sense if there's some type of actual reward in place, and I don't think your EPing is a fucking good enough reward to wreck somebody else's day.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, you're wrong.
I mean, we've all had those events where you lose a game and you are just so mad, where if you have to talk to one more person, you're just going to explode.
Yeah,
and then
get
you
out of there. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, there are always those kind of things where people drop for odd reasons because, you know, but that's...
You've had a bad week, and now you just lost a game, and now it's a really bad week, and you just want a goal.
That's not every tournament.
that's a Nathan tournament. Yeah,
but Nathan Rage is part of the enjoyment of the game, so you should be around radiating it.
We have cameras on Nathan at all times.
But put it in perspective, it'd be like going up to travel to Lambeau Field. You sit there, you have the cookout, you hang out with your friends, you go watch the first quarter, and you're like, I'm done. And then it's like you're there to play the game. You're there to be, you know, you could still be with your friends.
But, you know,
I think it's a lot. I don't know if that's a very good analogy, but... I don't think it is.
His point is you plan to invest that day to an activity.
Right.
So the instant that activity goes against you, it's like it's one thing if it's like the ninth inning or whatever, but people, like, if you go to a Brewers game and you leave the second inning because they're down 1-0, it's like...
Yeah. It's kind of like being a fair weather fan, I suppose, in a lot of ways it is. Yeah. Like Cowboys Stadium, you see they get behind and the whole thing empty.
Yeah.
It's like, well, do you really like them or do you just want to see them win? I guess you're right.
Yeah. It's just more of you're there to have that activity with your friends and you just kind of bail in a sense. Yeah.
And I will say, like, I understand where there's a lot of feeder events for Masters where it's like they want you to play. Like, if you know you can't qualify, I mean, sometimes they want you to play a few rounds where it's, you know,
in a 60-person tournament.
Yeah.
And you're only playing it to qualify, and you've lost a game, and you want to drop.
It cuts away from the second half of this sentence. What did happen, it was one of the things that started this topic, was there's a team event. And so the final two undefeated teams were against each other, and all four of those players, therefore, were into Masters. So one of the teams just like, you guys win. We're going to go off and get drinks.
Yeah, they were in the winning brackets, but they cared so much about Masters. They didn't care about the individual
tournament. There was like a $200 prize or something for that. They just are like, fuck the money. We don't want to play War Machine anymore. And just left because they had qualified for Masters.
People are just dropping from the winning bracket.
I will admit to have been dropped in the middle of a tournament final before. So.
Yeah. It's just bizarre.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to deal with this. I'm going home.
Yeah, but there is other reasons for that too. You know, it's like, you know, but I mean, it's just weird.
This wasn't like their opponents were assholes and they didn't want to deal with them or anything. They're just like, their only goal was to qualify for Masters.
Yep.
So as soon as they qualified for Masters, they just left the tournament.
I kind of feel like you got to have some kind of like lack of self-respect at some point to care that much about winning a game you can't make money at. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I know, it was weird. I mean, my break really helped me get for a better perspective too in gaming, actually playing through a day and whatnot. I think maybe more people need to take a little bit of break and come back and like reevaluate.
My break has not made me any more pleasant.
Well, I mean, my edge with a game is just slightly different. Right. You know,
it's just you can't have it be everything to you.
Yeah,
it just doesn't make any sense. Make your thing that's everything something that's going to benefit you in the long run.
Yep.
I mean, for God's sakes. Put some of that energy into your job.
Learn to play an instrument or something.
Yeah. No, that sucks.
That's a dumb idea.
Yeah. Oh.
It's terrible. I'm going to take
That's one
phone.
Thing that I'm definitely for sure terrible at, so I think everybody's terrible at it and shouldn't do it. Then I'll feel better about myself, just like if I would have won Masters.
Has our one watcher had any wisdom over there?
Nope.
They're like, yeah, stop it, dumb. That's good to know. It's good to know.
Nope, just announced it when the stream died.
We're down from 13 subscribers to 4.
Seems fair.
Well, yeah. I was amused by, what's happening here? That the first Zappity Grumble thread that Andy made has one comment, no likes. Mine has one like, no comments, and then yours has 12.
PR. Yeah.
Jim didn't post it.
Nope, that's everything he's saying is right.
All right, let's do some zappities.
We should probably do that now because we're about 50 minutes in. So,
okay, first one, Rohan Davis says grumble. Well, because your post literally just said zappity. So,
well, no, we should be going in the order. We should go to mine first.
Oh, okay, yeah. We'll go back to your comment first.
Yeah, come on, jeez,
what the heck is happening?
I'm the worst. Dan White says, how do you make a convincing argument for locals to support their looks versus buying models online? Also, thanks for coming down to Kerr.
We have never had that problem. Rapids. We always buy where we play.
Yeah.
Because we enjoy having the gaming space. So nobody ever really thinks of it.
Brian started an episode with a rant on this, 10, 12 episodes ago, where it was basically like, if you don't give them money, they will go out of business, and then where the hell are you going to play?
Yeah.
I've cut you off twice, so go ahead.
No, but that's what he just said is what I said before. And also, I get sometimes there's... I'll buy 10% of my stuff online. There's occasionally just an insane deal somewhere where it's like the deal of the day.
Yeah, Barter Town or something.
Or a lot of times, if I'm buying like units 3 or 4 for a theme force, I'm like, okay, I need a deal on this stupid idea I have, But my core money goes to my local game stores. And then the occasional offshoot money trickles to the web here and there. But you need to have a place to play.
It's not even just... even a place to play, but it's like a central point, a congregation to make a community. Because you can't have the game without a community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? So you have to have a base for your community, and that base for your community has to be a local store, so you just buy there.
Yeah.
We've never had a problem with it.
It also helps that our local stores are very good at actually ordering things and are very good at telling you when they come in, generally. I mean... And actually have a love of money that you pay them. Because I've heard nightmares about people in their local game store. Like, hey, I go and order this model, and I never see it again. I never hear of it.
If you do have one of them game stores, you shouldn't support it. You should get somebody to open their own.
Well, sometimes like, well, your game is dumb. I don't want to order models for you. Or buy that game. That's a dumb idea. You should play this other game over here that I want to sell you because I'm the boss of the store.
And that's why press gangers can't be store owners.
Yeah.
Because,
conflict of interest.
Yep. Yeah, no, just,
This shouldn't be a topic you really have to even explain or describe to them, to be honest, in my opinion.
But someone could save $5 online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then never have a place to play their games.
Right. You need a place to play. You need a community. That's it.
All right, Zappity.
On the flip side,
We grumbled it.
No.
All right, what's your flip side? What's your flip side?
On the flip side, store owners should not shun their players who sometimes use online as well. I mean, it does suck.
They're not a Judas just because they went to, Cool Mini or not once.
It does suck that that money isn't coming into you, but it's better for the community if you are understanding of the customer's need.
If some people are buying minis online, they're still coming to your store to play, and then the other people will buy from you.
Correct.
Yeah. So it still is part of the community building.
Or you could possibly make things more enticing for other players, like a buying program or something
like
that.
That's the one good thing about our local store, too, and you should talk to your store about it, is ours builds up points, and then once you get a certain amount of points, you get basically 10% of that money back as in-store credit, which spurns you to buy more stuff from them. And
that's the other thing. It's like even if you never gave them a penny for War Machine models, like if all you ever did was buy your War Machine models online and go play there, if they still support the community, you might pick up something else. Like you got family coming in, you want to do some board games, you pick up, Flux or some shitty thing or Time's Up or whatever.
A good one. Let's give them a good one at least.
Okay. Zombie Flux.
Zombie Flux. I like the Fluxes, but they are stupid and shitty.
They are stupid and shitty.
Love Letter.
But my point is, you have this relationship, you're going to go to them for something. They're going to get money out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're just selling you sodas for $2 each.
You need a community. They need customers.
Yes.
Works out great.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Nathan Scott says, what are your favorite 2- and 3-player board games? Euro games are right out. This group likes the violence and conflict. Even in a co-op game, their first question was how each member of a dating couple could screw each over the other. Recently introduced work friends to board games, and Zombicide has been a huge success, but I want to add more games that are not too crunchy.
What the Jesus.
That was a long one.
Basically, 2- or 3-player games that aren't Euros. Yeah, that was not on Twitter. That was on Facebook.
2- or 3-player
game. War of the Ring is a great 2-player game. We've mentioned it a million times.
I think that's crunchy.
It is crunchy.
What's crunchy mean? Goopy with rules?
Yeah, probably.
Too hard?
He wants something light but with lots of conflict that's at the 2- or 3-player level.
I would say Rivet Wars. Why the Epic Kingdoms, as long as Nathan doesn't break it?
That one faction broke it. That wasn't my fault.
I swear to God, I was going to stab you.
My brother responded to him and said King of Tokyo.
King of Tokyo.
Yep.
That one is light
and fun.
Smash
Up is also light.
Yeah.
Violent.
Yeah. King of Tokyo is probably one of our most played games ever.
Epic Spell Wars is pretty decent at 2-3 players. Not 2 players, but like 3 to 4 players. I wouldn't much go... the limit is 6, but that game will go on for hours if you do 6. But 3 to 4 is a nice...
TI3.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sticking with
Twilight Ring. Imperium?
Third edition.
Okay.
TI2 is a little heavy.
These are all terrible except for... Lord of Tokyo.
Lord
of Tokyo.
King of Tokyo.
It's just reskin Lords of Waterdeep to Lord of Tokyo and just have like all monsters instead of the lords.
Yeah.
That would be sweet too. There's already one monster as a lord, the Xanadu, which is not his actual name.
He is terrible.
He is terrible. I beat the computer with him, but that's not saying anything.
We have not played King of New York in our group yet.
Right, which is supposed to be King of Tokyo, but better.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is what I've heard.
I'll believe that when I see it.
So zappity.
Grumble.
If you were a board game, what board game would you be?
I need more time.
Yeah.
That's a serious life question right there.
You'd be Junta.
Well, it'd be one of the finalists at the very least.
All right, then moving on. Have any of you played the new Resident Evil? And if so, do you think it's worth a purchase?
The reviews have been okay. It's basically they're doing an episodic thing, and I'm going to wait for a few more episodes to come out.
Revelations, the first one, was pretty decent on the
Have a terrible sidekick who uses up all your med packs every time you get a paper cut? Because that's what I look for in Resident Evil.
Was that Resident Evil 6?
Bad one. No, 5.
5.
5 did it?
Yeah.
If
your life was a scale of 1 to 100, you'd be at 99, and she's like, 10 med packs! And you're like, no, bitch, save them for the boss. They're full heals. Let me be at 2%.
Which is always weird for me, because I played RE5.
You can literally not equip her with any healing items,
right?
I've played through that, and it wasn't that bad.
But she'd find them.
And I've only ever
then
played.
You pause the game and you take them from her.
You're like, no, you can't have that.
Can you imagine that as a movie?
No.
If you want to have fun, give her the bazooka. Because that won't get you killed
you
5 seconds later.
You and Nick played that.
Yeah, I played that game. I've only played 5 fully co-op, but I really enjoyed it. But I can understand if the AI is being dumb. I just never experienced it because I was looking at that.
I like the AI in number 4. Help me, Leon. God damn it, Ashley. Stop getting captured.
There is a great, great daughter.
She looks 18-ish.
Yeah, she's clearly close enough to
She's
legal.
European legal.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in Europe. Yeah,
exactly.
They are in Europe. She's legal where they are.
Yep.
Also, when everybody's a zombie, you get a couple years leeway.
How many is a couple?
Depends how many zombies 14, there are.
15.
There we go. That's what I thought.
14
what,
years leeway?
What level,
that is exactly what I was saying.
Yeah. Nathan, what level of fanning?
Yeah. No, it's age divided by 2 minus 7. It's a standard math
equation.
That's
a zombie one.
Yes. Normal life, it's age divided by 2 plus 7. But when it's a zombie apocalypse, you switch to minus.
Thank God you're not a teenager.
Last Man on Earth?
I started it.
Really hilarious.
It's Kristen Schaal. Spoiler.
Yeah.
The title of the show is not Last Person on Earth. It's Last Man on Earth. So.
Yeah. I like
some really hot woman that's like, not if you're the last man on Earth.
No, she's
Kristen
Schaal
is
adorable, cute.
Sure. Adorable. I will say that she is not what you would call a beauty.
Correct.
She is not going to be a cover girl for,
is she to that Sarah Jessica Parker?
No, it's not that. It's more like, lumpy.
Normal.
She's a doughy kind of person.
Call her lumpy.
She would agree with me.
She's not lumpy. I would say that
Who
she's like every
least,
other.
She might be a little bumpy.
S-C-H-A-A-L.
I don't I don't think I would.
I want to see if she's lumpy.
She's not lumpy.
You will find her like in a bodysuit and
she, with lumps. No,
S C H A A L.
Double
A.
She's not like.
I am a huge fan of Kristen Schaal, and I think she is an adorable woman who is attractive in her own certain way. She is not the standard definition of beautiful.
She's not a cover model, but I mean, she's
not unattractive.
That's why, yeah, she's...
Oh, she's very lumpy. I know her now. Yeah.
She was really funny on Daily Show.
Yeah. Well, she also
she's hilarious all the time. She's great as Tina, or not Tina, Louise.
If she was the last woman in the whole world, okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
She's also super annoying on the show. Like, they're driving, and she's like, you just ran a stop sign. And he's like, there's no... So she just, like, berates him and forces him to stop at the stop sign, and he can't park in the handicapped stall, because... You know,
I would just kick her out. Like, no, I'm done with this.
That's pretty. Yeah,
it's a good show.
I'm looking forward to watching. Decent. Yeah, I don't know how long
the answer to whatever non-related question.
That was Resident Evil.
I like.
I'm
going to
give it a chance at some point. That's
what you should do is go back and play Resident Evil 4.
Just always
or two.
There is a really awesome video.
I know none of the Resident Evils have great controls, but 4 was like the most passable for controls.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also had cool characters and story and fun.
What unit is the most unplayable trash?
Jeremy Shea.
Unplayable trash? Grotesques.
They are pretty terrible.
I mean, I can't really think of anything else. They really
there isn't much worse than
like Karrox. At least have Reach and Shield Wall.
I don't have the hate in my heart that you guys do. I don't think anything is that terrible that I've ever played.
I put them in one of my Saren lists.
I had
Ogryn Asphalt Core.
Ogryn Asphalt Cores.
Yeah.
That's a lack of hate in the heart, man.
Those are hand cannons with AoEs.
Yes, they are. Shh. People don't need to know that.
Zavity.
Grumble. The Order 1886, $70 for 5 hours of gameplay. Rant away.
I'm waiting for it to go on sale for $5, and I'll probably love it.
Yeah,
it's probably worth $1 an hour.
If you don't mind, it's a good 5 hours.
You know what game?
But so I'm not going to play for a long time.
Movies that have their video game tie-in, that game is always terrible, right?
Yes, usually.
So I played the demo for Iron Man, the video game.
The first
one. Iron Man movies, and that demo was so fun. And so I went out, and I think I just rented it, thank God. So... It was literally like the demo and then one more mission. This entire $60 game was like literally like 3 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, thank God I didn't buy that because it's over. It was a really fun 3 hours. Not worth $60.
Yeah, I would rent The Order if I had like a day.
Yeah, I'd listen to
probably enjoy it.
I listen to a lot of like podcasts and that.
Just go to Blockbuster and
go over like games and stuff like that. And
what year is it? Right. Sorry.
And one of the
yeah, now it's Family Video. You knew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but sorry. But they did talk about that. It to most of the people, it seems like it feels like a actual launch title for like the PS4, not a year into it.
Like to be fair, they haven't really even had launch titles for the PS4, really, right?
No.
Much of a library for the game developers to figure out.
It seems like they had a lot of effort into making the game really beautiful, but they did not do much more than that. So like you walk into a room, like this room here would have nothing to do with the plot, but it would be the most intricate room you'll ever see in a video game.
Right.
Like the pipes in the wall will be hand detailed and all this stuff. And it's like
they're trying to blow people away with the graphics on the new system.
Yeah. That effort that was taken into there, if they put that into adding more stuff to the timeline for the game, would have been
overall better. That's why I don't bother with very many
content over Chrome.
Yeah. Correct.
Which is why I don't bother with many console games. Usually the worse the graphics, the better the gameplay must be out of necessity.
Well, it's kind of like Skyrim. The map is only like 14 square miles now. Daggerfall was 90,000 square miles, that world map.
Well,
Skyrim is still overkill.
Skyrim is still stupidly large, too. I mean,
those games are out for me.
Yeah.
If I can't get everything in a game, I don't want it.
Can get everything in that.
No, not
Daggerfall is only the size of Great Britain. You'll explore it.
Skyrim keeps creating quests for you as you play. You never can do them all because there's always more quests.
Hey, that would drive me nuts.
There was that guy who beat World of Warcraft. Like, so it can be done.
No, well, the thing is, though,
I beat World of Warcraft beat it too, now because they had
more
it.
Achievements.
That is the how. The only winning move is not to play. I learned that from Matthew Broderick.
Zebedee.
Grumble. Who's the better jam unit for Scorn? Annihilators or Count Diary?
I haven't played the new ones yet, so I don't know.
What are they?
They have defense. They have defense. They get +2 against shooting, so it's kind of cool. I have them on order, so when I start playing my Scorn, I will have them ready to go.
One of our Pooper Potatoes has like 2 units of them, I think.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Also,
I'll have one. I'll proxy
also,
the other. But yeah,
if you're going to send us a Pooper Potatoes list, set it within reason that we might actually have the models for.
Like somebody put the one that was somebody did one that was Midas with 16 units of grinders. Ha ha! I'm not playing it.
Yeah, we're not going to do something like that. Like a ridiculous.
No,
that's 16 arcane bolts.
That's true, and he has curse. So that's great.
We're getting this done. You're playing it.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's our first one.
You
want
to pick up
we
another
want a real list?
I have 5 units of grinders. I'll run 5 units with him. I won't run 16.
Yeah. I can bring.
Yeah, they
one.
Have to be actual lists that you care about, not just like random spam garbage, right? Yep.
If you know it's poop, then it's not worth Pooper Potatoing.
Well,
if it's okay if you know it's poop, but if you know it's
at least,
stupid,
at least yeah, at least it, if you know it's poop, at least dress it up enough where we don't know it's poop.
Put the tinfoil around it so we have to open it up and be like, oh.
Have the respect to try to sabotage us instead of, it's like hide the bomb. Don't have it be like the grenade in Mom and Dad Save the Earth where it says pick me up and then every time you pick it up, you die.
Jeremy was like, man, the first 3 Legion lists were all P. Lilith lists. He's like, come on, people.
Yeah, but they didn't look bad.
He's still going to play one. I mean, he will do one of them. Because 2 are similar, so. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean.
Definitely. Yeah, but do you really want Jeremy's advice on how to fix a list?
Well, that's the funny part.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
All right.
Don't take it.
Then Adam Hoffman's a troll. And then Brian Sin says, do you like Shadows Over Camelot?
Shadows Over Camelot, that's the board game with the sword flippy thing.
Yeah.
I think it's okay, but I think you should play Battlestar.
If you only have like an hour and 15 minutes, you can get a game of Shadows of Camelot done, and Battlestar takes longer. That'd be the only reason I would play
it
Shadows.
Because
I only have 90 minutes.
Yeah, I can agree with that, and I own the game, and I would agree with that.
But I mean, if you have 2 hours or more, you want to play Battlestar every time.
If you bought Shadows Over Camelot and you didn't own Battlestar, you would not feel like it was a waste of money.
If you think that your friends or family are a little lighter weight than Battlestar, you can, Shadows Over Camelot is shorter, easier, lighter
weight. It doesn't
have
a
Battlestar Galactica.
It's still kind of fun too.
The President's Quarter is what really trips you up on Battlestar.
Like, because you draw a card and then like weird shit happens. You can never figure out the rules.
No, it's terrible. Also, Shadows of Camelot probably more playable high.
Probably. Probably. Also, but don't play it. Like play it with like 5-ish. Like it plays up to 8. Don't do that.
Very rarely do you want
to
play a
the game balance to make the trader have a shot and the people not automatically win and thus be bored. You have to be around 5.
I have some friends who only play Shadows with a trader. Like they guarantee a trader every game.
I would disagree with that, but it's something. But if you're playing with the maximum 8 people, that trader will never win and everyone will be bored. Yeah. And if you're playing with 3 people, the trader will always win. And so you have to really aim for that 4-6.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's not a pro or con over Battlestar.
This is an independent warning. This is not an advantage it has over Battlestar. The advantage it has over Battlestar is that it's easier. You can play it while high, and it has swords that you can stab each other with.
Very true.
And
it's also got the sweet theme if you're into British Picts and Saxons.
Careful.
And all that.
One guy is going to make Monty Python jokes the entire fucking game. Or if all of you are that guy, that's another reason to play Shadows Over Camelot.
Man, if you're all that guy, that'd be...
If you're the one person who isn't that guy,
God help you. I've like never watched any Monty Python, because every time I start watching it, I'm like, this is kind of dumb. So I'm definitely...
There's one called Life of Brian I feel I should watch, because, my name's Brian, but I haven't watched it.
That's my favorite one.
That's my Life of Brian story. I'm living it.
Okay, next.
Andy tried to say something like 4 times. What were you going to say?
I don't know.
Must not have been that important because we cut him off.
Yeah, like we wouldn't have interrupted him if it was important.
Indeed.
We would have sensed it.
I've been cutting Brian off this whole episode, so. And then probably saying exactly
what he was going to say. Denny 2 versus Grail. Who wins?
You son of a bitch. That's my last thing. That's a game I lost because I threw it away. So not only was it ridiculous that I lost versus that Grail game, he picked the wrong list. He's like, I'm going to play this list. And then he flips it up, it's Grail. He's getting his models out. Then he was going to pull some ADR. He was pulling ADR out of his Cassius list. He goes, wait a minute. What did I choose? He's like, son of a bitch, I picked Grail.
Remember when you lost then?
Yeah. Oh, man. I was like, had that game so locked down.
Yeah, but after you won, then the stalker would have killed you. And you I can't know. Let that happen.
I can't let that happen.
Because of the Wraith Bane.
I know. The Wraith Bane would have killed me the following turn after I won. I didn't want that to happen.
Yeah, everyone outthinks themselves now and again.
Yeah. I mean, I was correct. I would have died.
Grail, I don't see him a lot, but he's got stealth, and he's pretty good.
He's one of those guys I don't see, and I don't know why I don't see.
15-16 stealth is pretty good by itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and people are dumb, like, about his feet. They're like, it's so stupid because half of it's good if you're against shooting and half of it's good against melee. So which is it? It's like, it's both, you idiot.
We talked about this when we were talking about the ADR. I mean, he's got Storm Rager, and that spell is amazing. That on, like, Wolf Lord? Oh,
I think somebody
Jesus.
Got mad when you mentioned you liked Grail. I think it was Grail, or was it? Yeah, I think it was. You mentioned, like, someone on, I forget, was it some forum or some thread was like, I can't believe Jim said Grail was enjoyable. It was just a few. He ranted for a while. It was pretty hilarious.
I mean, I could see where, if you were looking at him versus some other Circle casters, he could come up. Maybe on the short end of the stick, yeah. But
he's unique enough. Like,
yeah.
He can't really. He's not a worse version of somebody else.
He's got stealth and 16 armor, which is really handy.
He feels like he doesn't, in a sense, belong in that faction. Like, he might be. He feels different enough out of there. Like Thyra doesn't really feel like a protectorate caster.
If you get mad because I like stupid crap, you're gonna be mad a lot.
Yeah.
Well, you listen to our podcast,
yeah, right?
I feel like when you know. In the movie where they tie someone down, they keep the eyes open. We need to, like, tie Travis down and just, like, force his ears open and just have Jim talk to him.
The crippled
systems.
Is
there an Amber Alert?
There was one yesterday. It's me that specifically sets Travis off?
Yeah, you can't. It's pretty great.
I don't know why. I like you find Travis.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't hate you. It's just everything you ever say enrages him.
Well, that's fair. I mean, I'm in the same boat right there with you, Travis. See, we got a lot in common.
Jason Tick asks Andy/Brian, so we get to shut up.
Okay.
Have you watched Penny Dreadful? Season 2 is coming around and the show is great.
I did watch I couldn't get into it. I should have liked it. I liked the concept. I liked the actors. It just didn't pull me in.
I would rather fall down the stairs.
You're not Andy or Brian.
Oh, I thought I was Andy. Sorry. Go ahead.
Normally you've been talking for me for most of the podcast anyway.
Well, I mean, what's her name? It's naked in it, so that's nice.
But Oh, yeah. That
but she's
was
naked
nice.
Everywhere, so it's not really a surprise.
Yeah.
Still, I'm naked.
I watched the whole thing. I think, Brian, if you watched more than half of it, you should just finish it. I mean, it's only like 10 episodes.
Yeah.
So it was decent.
They put effort into making it, and I like the actors, and I like the concept. I like that kind of thing. But it just didn't click with me. I don't know. It was just weird. It
lost me for a little bit too. Yeah. And then I just basically forced myself to watch the rest of it. And I'm not really looking forward to the next season. But it's I'll watch it.
I was gonna troll you, but I can't remember the name of that show you hate.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Yeah,
no, that one with the werewolf and the vampire and the Frankenstein monster girl who's like 12 feet tall, but she's actually like an 8-year-old. And, you know, the
is
one that
Monster
you hated.
Squad? Because that movie's awesome.
I don't know.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
No, it's a Netflix exclusive one.
Oh, yes. I can't. It's the
swampy, crappy show.
Yeah.
I was going to ask if Penny Dreadful was as good as that and watch your head explode, but we both forgot it existed, so.
So, Hemlock Grove.
Hemlock Grove. Okay, hold on. Rewind a second here. Talk about Penny Dreadful a little bit.
Okay, I like
Is
Timothy
it as good as Hemlock Grove?
The terrible thing that I saw and forgot existed and then saw again was the movie Doomsday. I got halfway through that movie, I'm like, I swear to God, I know everything that's happening. And then I was like, oh shit, I've seen this before. God damn it. And I did that with the stupid movie War Inc. Like halfway through, I'm like, oh, I've watched this before. What am I doing?
Doomsday is great only for the fact that it changes genres every 34 every 13 minutes. It's a new genre of film.
Yeah, it goes from a zombie outbreak movie to a medieval times movie.
Mad Max.
It doesn't. Oh my god.
Yeah,
but it has that cool lady on the cover with the tribal tats.
Yeah.
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 It's awful.
But Penny Dreadful, give it a shot at least. That's half-hearted recommendation.
And Matthew Parker asks, should we feel honored that the Muse crew was too scared to come to Cedar Rapids for the tournament? Is it fair to say Fat Asian ducked the entire town?
Well, they had already promised to go to Nebraska for the machine invitational qualifier.
He had promised after you guys' stuff came out because he was afraid, but, you know, he did promise.
We have something down the pipe, too, I forgot to mention.
Down the pipe.
Down the pipe. Yep.
There's a pipe.
Oh, there's a pipe with something coming.
Coming your way. It seems a little scary. Are there any zap?
I didn't do Twitter.
I'm trying to vamp on Facebook.
Trying to vamp for Nathan here.
What? You're vamping for me?
Yep. Vamp, vamp, vamp.
But no, that was everything on the Facebook. Now I'm going to go to Twitter.
Oh, here come the twits.
The twoodles. Except Twitter's so hard to operate. Like, how do I just make it show people responding to that thing?
I think my phone just died.
You click on the thing.
Activity. No, because this is...
My God.
Do you need the PR master.
Yeah, Jim. He tweeted.
Here we go. Oh, I found it.
Jim has to install Twitter first real quick. And then all right. I'll show you how he said it.
Jim's tweet got no responses on Twitter. My tweet... Ooh, I got one. Crippled System, I can't pick a faction for my next league. Anything but Signar or Minions. You decide.
Trollbloods are really powerful now.
Trollbloods are really powerful.
There's like five good...
They're over OP.
Yeah. You have like five amazing theme forces and some meatbone to choose from.
Ooh. Which gets us to the responses to Andy's Twitter.
Yep.
We'll skip one for now. I'll go back to it. Alex Shaver asked, Trollbloods too strong?
Strong.
I think they're the right kind of strong because they're good, but they're not like unstoppable. But they're solid. They're just a solid faction. Their list, other than they're not the most annoying list in the world. Meat Mountain's kind of annoying.
Yes, it is the most annoying list in the world.
No, there's much more. I think there's more annoying than Meat Mountain.
The meta cannot shift to eliminate Meat Mountain fast enough for me.
I think they just have a lot of good tools in their chest that they're able to pull out.
He said tool. He said chest.
I mean, Runes of War, Borka's theme, this new Kalandra thing is kind of cool.
With like the 17 lights.
All the lights. Yeah, there's a lot of neat theme things going on in their faction.
I can't believe I heard the day where somebody asked if trolls are too strong.
They won three tournaments right? yesterday.
I lived through it.
Yeah, I
played trolls in Mark 1, and holy moly.
Three events yesterday won by trolls.
Those are limes.
That's amazing, and I'm excited. Matt Warnart asks, what movie are you looking forward to the most this summer?
It's really generic, but Avengers. I was looking at summer releases.
The marathon's not happening around here.
No, it's not.
No,
I'm so upset.
I'm not sure if I really want to spend 24 hours watching those movies.
Avengers Age of Ultron is coming out, and then nothing else because they don't want to be near that.
Another Terminator movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Genesis.
I'll go ahead and go with Avengers 2 then.
Yeah. But we can
Terminator
like travel
has been
to...
terrible for two decades now or something.
You know, the thing is, though, has it? Like,
yep.
Terminator 2.
Yep. And
I even
then
like
nothing.
Terminator 3 was fun.
No,
that chase
it was,
scene
man.
With the crane.
Yeah.
That
but
scene
it was
is
just,
fucking
it
amazing.
It was just a rehash of 2.
But it was
sad.
A good rehash of 2.
No, it wasn't.
Any
was
movie
drink
that ends with
beers.
The world being destroyed, I cannot dislike. Really? That's my dream.
Man, I didn't like that. And I didn't like the TV show. Remember, I hate everything.
I like the TV show a bit. I did not like the one.
Yeah, that one was,
Revelations.
That was the weakest of them all. Yeah. But even still,
and Christian Bale forced them to rewrite that thing.
Yeah, that was the worst of them. But I liked Terminator 3. Like it
I
was a blatant rehash. There was not a creative thing in all of Terminator 3, but it executed it well. So I liked it.
I thought 2 was better. And
it had
well, 2 is one of the
two is one of the, yeah. I mean,
right. Well, if here's what I'm saying: if you've got Terminator 2 and it was amazing. Go big or go home. They should either stopped or they should have went to like full robot.
I think
war.
They
Did
tried
you see the crane
to go
flipping over.
Yeah.
And...
I think they really wanted it to be like Terminator 2, as in that epic
Which is
scale.
A fail.
But it's
you can't
ask every director that has followed in a series after James Cameron.
Yeah,
it's basically almost impossible.
They should have just went completely over the top.
But they tried to. Is my point, and I mean, the world fucking explodes. Well, yeah, but the plot's not what you're going to the top with. You're going
over
top with.
We're not
going to
agree on this. Let's move
gunfights at a funeral and stuff like that.
I don't know. I want to see Avengers 2, and I am intrigued by Genesis.
There are some other movies coming out, but nothing. I was looking at nothing like popped out as much as Avengers 2. There are some things which I can't even think of right now because that's how. Much I don't, I mean.
Right.
But there's movies every month of summer that I'm going to want to see as it gets closer. I'll be like, oh, that trailer looks neat. There'll be some funny comedy I want to go see. But right now, it's all about, I mean, Avengers is less than 2 months away, and that's still going to be the big hype.
Next month is fucking Daredevil on Netflix.
Well, I don't give two shits about that.
Hey, Ben Affleck,
have you seen, that's a TV
show, not a movie. Yeah.
No, it was the movie.
I'm talking about the TV show.
What's her name? Right.
Yeah, Elektra. Yeah. Elektra.
Well, this is what movie that one wasn't.
I know, either. I know, but I would consider that like an 8-hour movie, basically.
That was one of Colin Farrell's usually, bad movies, of all of his bad movies.
Yeah,
but what Andy's saying is, there's a Netflix TV show coming out. Which
I'm
is
fucking talking.
I know.
I'm trying. Andy.
Our group is not compatible with.
There's an 8-hour movie, is what you're saying.
It doesn't matter.
Does it have Carmen Electra as Electra?
Doesn't matter.
Or whatever.
Fuck.
And then the last question is, have you seen Kingsman yet? And we talked about this a lot a couple episodes ago. Yes. And it's worth it.
Andy hasn't seen it?
Nope.
Elaborate on it then. Now here's your chance to shine and talk.
Do you want to go see it on Tuesday?
Sure.
Yes.
I don't like it as much as you guys.
I it's a solid B+. Not a Nate Hoffman, a B+, an actual B+. There were a couple great things in it, and overall it was decent.
It was good. It was good. It wasn't like the best movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm not going to buy it on Blu-ray the day it comes out, but I enjoyed seeing it. I like the church scene, and I like that Icelandic woman's buttocks.
What was the movie where they were like going within a dream, Inception? When's the last time anyone seen that one?
I saw it that one time. I saw it in the theater.
That I didn't like it then, and I was like, I bet in 3 years nobody will have seen this again. I'm pretty sure I was right.
I've watched it once since then.
It's no,
when I bought it on Blu-ray, and I'm like, I have to watch this.
And then
it's got cool sequences, like that whole fight sequence with the rotating hallway. I mean, it's just really amazingly well done, and it's got lots of cool stuff in it.
Something in it just puts me to sleep.
Well, pun intended.
No.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's because they were trying for the dream state that it made it so boring.
It's no Memento.
Yeah, that's the good one.
I only like parodies of that. I've never seen Memento, but I have watched Blue Mountain State.
Yeah.
Don't
trust Alex Moran.
Yep.
Make Alex Moran pancakes.
Chocolate chip pancakes. Oh, that movie's going to be coming out soon, too.
Memento?
No, the Blue Mountain State movie.
Do they got Dad Castle in it?
I mean, because that was like last year that they
got the Kickstarter. But I don't know what the actual progress is going on with it.
Sometimes those movies never come out. Vin Diesel had some movie about Hannibal the Conqueror that literally never was released.
Or Don Quixote from...
Entourage, the movie comes out in
not
June.
Not Sam Raimi,
it's like, Jim will want to see that.
Yeah, I'll go and see that.
Terry Gilliam.
Yes. Terry Gilliam's the man who killed Don Quixote.
Yep.
Which the documentary about that movie is really interesting. But
have you seen the documentary about the Dune? I cannot think of the director's name that they're talking about.
The weirder director who wasn't David Lynch.
Correct.
Like someone who made an even more bizarre version of Dune than David Lynch did.
Yep.
Was anybody like wearing full body suits that were like mega tight in it? Wasn't that the thing about the original Dune?
No, it's the opposite. Sting is wearing like 3 square inches of fabric the final climactic fight scene. Yeah. It's just him thrusting his crotch around and jumping with knives.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So if you're into Sting and want to see 97.8% of his skin at a time, you should watch Dune.
He's the guy from The Police, right?
Yes.
Sweet.
I would say the graphics even hold up still nowadays.
Dune is a terrible Dune movie, but it's an amazing cheesy 80s movie. Like when Jean-Luc Picard is riding giant sandworms into a fortified city while nuclear bombs are going off and people are shouting through laser-guided megaphones while cheesy 80s synth guitar music plays, you can't beat that.
Nope.
It's a terrible Dune movie, but that shit's awesome.
The 80s were really good at that. How about Running Man? That was very.
I just watched that today. It was on TV.
Yeah, it's fun and funny. It's just that movie.
It's fun watching the edited version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, with the TV overdubs?
Yeah, the little lady's like, I think Ben Richards will get the next kill. He's one bad hunk of muscle.
So many times I've watched like Smokey and the Bandit on like TVS. That movie, even watching it uncut, it's still amazing. But anyway, yeah. You didn't interrupt me. I was expecting an interruption through there.
Andy no longer plans the second half of his sentences because it's inefficient to do so. He just starts with something interesting and then knows that we'll finish for him.
I'm worn out.
Lordy. That's all my zappity grumbles. Okay. So I've run out of questions to ask. Were you going to show that thing you showed me, or is that being saved?
That's being saved.
Okay.
But I don't know when they're going to get it done. But
Here, I can phrase it this way.
As the PR guy, I think it's my responsibility. Big things are coming.
Okay, it's almost last April.
Yes. I'll tell you off air. I had some conversations that evolved into other conversations that evolved into other conversations that evolved into this.
I've been on the giving side of, hey, it's a year later, here's your stuff before.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna throw stones at
Jim,
people.
I think you and I were tied in commission painting of when to start.
Can't possibly be tied. That one that you just finished, those vampire count chicks, haven't you had those for like a decade?
No.
I literally had them multiple years.
No, mine were, those were at least 5 years.
Yeah.
That's not a decade. You're rounding up.
But 5 years. I don't think Rhett has even been out 5 years.
It was pretty bad, though.
I know Rhett hasn't been out 5 years.
I liked when I got like 90% of the army done. It was like, man, I hate painting in every way. That was my favorite part of that project.
I think that was Ben's least favorite part of that project.
Probably. At least 90% of it was done and delivered.
We should definitely keep talking about this because Brian really wants to go home. Like, he's done.
I really want to go home too. Right, I don't know why I'm talking.
I need to go to the bank and it's Sunday.
So you need to go to the bank. Okay, I see. Yeah. You can
is that the name of a bar?
No, you could do
the name of a hooker.
Yeah. The bank.
Yeah. Where you make a deposit.
He likes to make
a
deposit. Your vaginas.
He took the boring route.
I pluralized it. That's how I picked this one. It's pretty exciting.
Fair enough.
It's a rare genetic nothing.
We're going to go into recommendations.
Bang it.
Your recommendation is baiting it?
Bing.
Oh, okay.
Aren't you guys talking about you can find anything on Bing?
I realized the other day I haven't cleaned my Bing history in a while. I was like, oh my God, delete. It's only me looking at it, but my God.
I never clear any history because I know that you can hold control, hold shift, and press N.
That's why I don't understand what you just said.
It brings up a new tab that doesn't track anything, and then when you close that tab, it's gone forever.
See, I would think Bing, they would track those even more closely. That's what gets sent directly to the government immediately whenever people use that particular browser. That's the please notice what's happening here browser.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to say, where private browsing just immediately just sends it all the information to the NSA.
To Homeland Security.
Yeah,
directly. I wasn't really watching it. On the background was one of them, like, Dateline mystery things.
Yeah.
Two in a row, the people searched up how to kill somebody on the internet. Cleared it.
Remember that guy last year? This is terrible.
Ain't work clearing it, buddy.
The guy last year who came out of work and, oh, my goodness, I forgot my kid was in the car. Yeah. And my kid died of heat exhaustion. And they looked at his search history, and it was stuff like, how long does it take a small mammal to suffocate in a car in July? Like, he'd search this shit.
It's just stupid. Yep.
You idiot.
Hey, if you're planning a serious crime, at least go to the library. Come on. That's terrible.
Yeah, bum it off your neighbor's Wi-Fi.
That's my recommendation. That is my recommendation. Search your murder crimes elsewhere.
Or just wing it. That seems to work best sometimes.
You're fucked either way because they can track everything now.
True.
All right, I'm done with recommendations.
Unless you are Gene Hackman.
Recommendation.
Unless you're Gene Hackman and put yourself off the grid.
Did Gene Hackman, he murdered a baby?
Yes.
That's what one of the other guys, first he like searched something up on the internet, and then he took the battery out of his phone so they couldn't track him. Like, your phone was out of your battery for this suspicious 6-hour period of time in which this crime committed. Yep, you're guilty.
Well, no, what you do is you just leave your phone at home and then go do the murder.
Yep.
If you're doing the tracking thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or you leave your phone on a city bus.
Mail it to Albuquerque.
Tape it to the bottom of the seats?
Yeah, just tape it under the seat and it'll drive around for a while and then catch that same bus and say you fell asleep.
Or you went
there aren't cameras in those buses at all.
There are cameras in those buses. Yeah,
basically, if you commit
you
a
cut
car
the
crime,
wires to the bus's camera while this is happening.
And cut so the bus leave, driver's throat, and then you just drive the bus.
You leave the phone, then you... Yes, there we that's go. That's great. You drive the bus around for a while, and then you reinstall the camera, and they...
Uncut his throat.
yeah, we're getting somewhere. No,
just seal
you're
that up.
Fine, because they can't prove that you killed him because the camera was cut, and you can prove that you were riding a bus around the whole time that the crime committed place because you're
because you got his DNA on there. Your clothes.
Yeah. You can prove you were on it. Wait.
I didn't kill her because I killed him.
Yeah.
This is working.
This is working great. Let's go kill a bus driver. Yeah. I'm down for this. I forget why we're doing it, but I just really want to kill a bus driver
if
right
you've
now.
You've driven a bus in Madison. You remember why you want to kill a bus driver pretty fast.
One time I had to take the bus to work. I forget why. My car was in the shop or something.
I did it for a year.
It takes an extra hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's because they stop every 2 feet.
Yeah.
You're like,
I'm three blocks away from my house, from my work. It's going to take me a half hour.
But they still
get
that thing bus up to 60 in those 2 blocks. And yeah.
There's a reason why when I didn't have a car, I walked the hour from Staples to Andy's and my place every day. It was faster to walk home than it was to take the bus.
I wonder why our public transportation is failing.
And on the curve, Madison has pretty good buses for American bus service. Yeah, that's true. The terrible news about it.
Yeah, there was that story recently of that guy in Detroit that walked to work for like 20 years. Like, I'm not taking a bus.
And the thing is, it's a like shitty minimum wage job. Like, you can't get a job at the McDonald's closer to your house. Like,
hold on.
Not, like,
this is Detroit.
Yeah, there probably wasn't another job. Have you been there?
So, you know what? Walk to any other city.
Like, I don't want to run down Detroit, but it is a burnt out shithole.
I would rather be homeless in Chicago than work minimum wage in Detroit.
Yep.
I've seen the documentary RoboCop, so I know how bad things can get there.
Yeah.
I've seen even the newer version
that nuke.
Of that documentary.
The nuke is rampant there.
Yeah.
Nuke
is rampant.
Zappity?
Was I recommending? I lost track.
I got my recommendation.
You recommend
me too. I'm fine.
Are you recommending killing bus drivers?
Hey, I got the Star Realms. The Star Realms expansion came out. If people are playing Star Realms on their phones and iPads and stuff still, the expansion came out. The expansion's good. I just lost 10 games in a row and that hurt, but the expansion's good.
There you go. I'm going to recommend a TV show called Broadchurch. It's season 2 has started.
Yeah, it's
Broadchurch.
Broadchurch. Season one was amazing.
Season 1 is really
good. Is it about like a dumb chick that goes to a cathedral?
No, almost. It's about a very wide cathedral.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
Is it like the bridge?
It's Doctor Who investigating crime with various companions he used to work with.
So, does season 2 take place in Broadchurch again?
It's like a couple days later.
It's a very unlucky town. Oh, it just like steamrolls forward.
It's a couple
English
days.
Towns are named funny.
Season 1 is just them investigating a murder in this quiet town of Broadchurch.
And then season 2 kind of starts off where season 1 ended, literally.
It's a lot like Hot Fuzz then.
Very similar, except slightly less action and more drama and seriousness.
Oddly enough, more geese.
It's interesting because, you know, some shows you watch and, you know, you watch a show and like 80 people die in the show and then it's all this craziness and they move on. Or like the show, it's all about one person being killed and how it just destroys the community. Because, I mean, really. You know,
that community fucking crumbles.
Yeah. And then so it's in. Yeah.
So it's not over.
Andy,
correct.
Over Hollywooded.
Correct. Like in this movie, if someone got hit in the head in the show, they'd be in a coma and have serious injury. Where a TV movie, you get hit in the head, you're like, I'm fine.
Andy likes train wreck shows. This is a train wreck show that isn't a comedy. Like, this is like the straight faced version of terrible things happening to everybody.
But do they use a hooker to get in the carpool lane?
If this was Broadchurch, he'd try to use the hooker to get in a carpool lane, and then the hooker would die, and he'd go to prison forever, and his mother would kill herself.
It's really good.
It's really good.
Now, for comedy, I will back up your Backstrom. I've watched. I'm current on Backstrom.
I've been watching that too. It's pretty good.
Yeah,
really good.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Like we dismissed it as the thing, but it's true. I mean, it's Detective House, mm-hmm. and that is a good combination of words.
I never dismissed it. I wasn't trying to be dismissive of it because we all watched like 8 seasons of House.
We all agreed at the time that it was a good thing to call it that. But yeah, you can just summarize Detective House.
Yeah,
fucking amazing.
Yeah, in no way. I mean, they even only do one crime at a time in their whole division. It's literally 100% Detective House. They're not even pretending it's anything else.
Yeah, and he always has the breakthrough right at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
It's always because someone said something ridiculous.
And every once in a while, they're like, oh, this stupid side character will throw him a bone.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's pretty much the same. It's good.
I actually really like the episode with the boogeyman thing.
Yeah.
That was actually really.
Is that the kidnapping one?
Yeah, the kidnapping
one. Yeah, that was actually.
That was like a high quality episode.
Well, because House did that same thing. Like was it season one? The one with the three stories where he tells the story of the three people all losing a leg and it turns out one of them, you know,
was his. It was the whole story was him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one of the three was, yeah. But like that episode was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and the boogeyman episode is kind of like Backstrom's version of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just rewatch season one of House. You'll know what's up.
Yeah.
With Backstrom.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun. It's to you.
It's to me. What the hell?
No. You've had a week.
What about one of your silly YouTube shows? What's the one that we just watched? I don't remember it. Last week we watched something on YouTube that you liked.
Oh, it was the Power Rangers thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the other one by the same guy.
Yeah. Well, which is Dirty Laundry. I think I've recommended that.
Yeah.
You should go to YouTube and watch the Power Rangers thing if you haven't. If you've been living under a rock for the past 2 weeks.
Now, is the one Power Rangers outfit black and blue, or is it white and gold?
That's the important burning question.
Yeah. But Dirty Laundry is a much better one. And it follows probably...
Well, yeah, they're both very, very violent.
Yeah.
But one of them's supposed to be violent. Like, that's the thing. Correct. You make a violent Punisher movie, you made a Punisher movie. You make a violent Power Rangers movie, and people are like, what the fuck was that?
They should really just throw more money at that guy. I've heard things that the guy's kind of an asshole, but they should throw more money at him because he brought us Dread as well. That movie is fucking amazing.
Talented assholes are still useful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If the stuff you produce is amazing, I don't really care if you're an asshole.
Yeah.
It's not exactly. Like you have to sit and talk to the guy.
He's not going to hang out with us, so it's okay. Yeah. I mean, if he had hang out with us, then it might be a different story, but he's never going to interact with our lives.
I could put up with him being an asshole if he was rich and hanging around with us.
If he hung out with us like every Wednesday and was an asshole, but it meant that Dread 2 got made and it was as good as Dread 1, I could live with that.
I suppose.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys already put up with me. And you nothing off.
Yeah.
That is definitely true.
I mean, let's put it into perspective here.
That's true.
I got the joy of taking you grocery shopping several times.
Yeah, watching me gimp around with my broken leg. That was enjoyable.
I got a broken computer. So that years of friendship, I got a power supply.
Yep, there you go. I'm worth something.
Bye.
Is that it? Are we done?
I have no finale. We have petered out. Thanks for listening. We apologize as always.
As your new head of PR, I want to let you know I don't know how to use Twitter. I have no idea who posted that up there.